And welcome to Community Kitchen, back after a small break. And the good news is, from today, the recipes will be online. Exciting, because I have a lot of people phone me or send me emails just saying they've missed something, or maybe I've talked too loud or too quietly or too quickly and haven't been able to actually catch up with the recipe. So that's fantastic. And they'll be easy to find. Each week it'll have the date and the actual title. So I think today we're going to be looking at a little bit of a weather change. So we're going to be talking about comfort foods. And of course, Mother's Day is coming up. So comfort food and Mother's Day, and you'll be able to go online and find those particular recipes that we've mentioned to you on the show today. The weather's wonderful, isn't it? So nice to have that little bit of sunshine on Monday, a little bit on Sunday, a little bit on Monday. And let's hope it continues for the rest of the week. So today, just thinking about some of those comfort foods, I thought about the fact that we're going to be start thinking about soups, stews, using the slow cooker. I noticed one of the supermarket magazines has a fantastic little group of recipes that you can cook in your rice cooker, which I want to have a look at those, and we'll probably bring some of those to the table for you also. But today I wanted to talk about how you can utilize one recipe and make it into a couple of meals. Say, for example, if you're lucky enough to go have a fantastic butcher who does his own big ham hocks, you can pick the size that you want. What I find that I have one slow cooker that was given to me, which is quite a large one, and it will take a couple of ham hocks in there. That gives me some really nice cold meat, because the ham hock is beautiful. It's just not as perfect as the ham that you would get off the leg, but it's really good. Makes a great potato salad, is really nice if you want to chop it up and put it into a quiche. And also you can just slice it and have it on a sandwich with some good pickles or some chutney, or even cut it into a salad. Now, usually what I find with the peas, I always use the green split peas. I soak mine overnight. I find that I love it when they break down. They get that real mushy pea taste in them. A lot of people will cook them in straight, but I just don't like it when it's still got that little bit of a solid state. So soak them overnight, couple of good ham hocks. I find that one thing I do love with a pea and ham soup is I love the leek taste, because leeks have got that nice sweet taste at the same time. So if you're going to be, if you want to do it and get the most flavour, fry off your leeks first in a little bit of butter in the pan. Put a bit of pepper in there, put your celery and your carrots in there too, so that actually starts to get that lovely caramelization. And then you're putting that into your slow cooker. Chicken stock. I always have some chicken stock in the freezer. At the moment, I've got quite a selection. I was lucky enough that someone gave me some really good duck stock, and that's been fantastic for a quick soup to put some nice noodles in, some Asian greens, and it's a taste under itself. But just thinking of the pea and ham, not only do you get that pea and ham soup, but you have the option of using that extra hock for cold meat. Now, when I take the hock out of the cooker, I usually take that fat skin off. Remember, don't give it to your dogs. It's not a good thing to give the animals that. But I'm sure the chookies would love that little bit of extra fat, especially coming up this time of year. But on the hock that you're going to be using for the cold meat, leave that fat, the skin on, because the beautiful gelatin just makes that hock moist for when you're actually going to be using it in the cook. Now, another one I think that's a really good one for double cooking is a leek and potato soup. And with that particular one, then you've got a base for a chicken and leek pie. And of course, with the chicken and leek pie, I know a lot of people enjoy to get those chooks at the supermarket on the weekend. And if you have, you always got that little bit of bone left over. You've got a bit of meat that you want to shred off there that's always left. That is perfect for when you want to make that particular pie. But a leek and potato pie Usually you need two carrots, two leeks, two onions, two stalks of celery, a couple of cloves of garlic, about 500 grams of potato, and go for ones that are going to be nice and creamy, ones you use for mashing, for example. 8 cups of chicken stock. And all you're doing is just cutting up all your veg, of course, and gently frying olive oil until they're soft. And then let them get a little bit golden brown. Don't get them too dark, because otherwise you won't get the sugars and the caramelization, which in that flavor. Add the potatoes and the veggies to a boil and simmer for about 15. And then I just usually mash it up or do it with a stick blender. But if I was going to be taking that over into a pie base, I probably would do a double serve of that and take half of that mixture out. And then you can thicken that and put a little bit of cream in it, because putting the cream in it at the end just gives it that really lovely fullness. Careful when you're processing. You don't want your potato to go slimy, so don't blend it for too much. I usually just get the stick blender and put it in there. But a good dollop of sour cream on that is fantastic. It freezes very well. But if you did have some of those lovely chicken bones, you could put them in there with the stock and then take that out just to give that extra enhancing, to give that flavour. And, of course, a good chowder, because when you've got a chowder mixture, you can also take that into a Mornay, because it really is a base of a white sauce. So you're just going to cut that stock back a little bit. And we talked about a chowder a little while ago, where you're using about 4 cups of milk to 4 cups of stock. So if you're going to be taking that into a chowder, make double, just don't put all the stock in there. So you'll probably bring that stock back a little bit. Rather than using 4 cups, maybe use 1 cup. And maybe 2 cups of milk, just to see how it is, because you want that thick if you're going to be making a Mornay. And nothing's nicer than a really great Mornay. You can do very thin potatoes on top, or mash. You can do cheese and breadcrumbs. And that is a great way to use a recipe twice. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Mother's Day, just a couple of really nice ideas. And of course, they're going to be warm and comfort, because it's nice. It's that time of year that we really do look forward to having those nice comfort foods, good for the body too, keeps us nice and warm, which is something that is always excellent. I'll be back shortly and we'll be talking Mother's Day. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. We're talking Mother's Day. Of course, it's comfort food. And Mother's Day, remember, the recipes are going to be online now, which is very exciting. So I, as you do when you have a break, you tend to read and you tend to relax. And I found this fantastic cookbook at a secondhand shop. And it's based on Let's Do Lunch. And it's ABC Delicious Magazine. And it had a beautiful picnic lunch. And I thought, with this sort of weather, how nice is that? So they started off with an added pasta with some lovely grilled veggies. But what really got me was this fantastic pea and mint frittata. And it looks so good, and it looks delicious. The ingredients look fantastic. And with that, what they did for the actual presentation of the lettuce is they made a really great garlic mayonnaise, and they had a big jar with all the cos lettuce in there. So all you had to do is dip that leaf of lettuce into the garlic mayonnaise, and you enjoy that. But this frittata looks really fantastic, and you're using an oven temperature about 170, and you grease and line the base of a 25 by 6 centimeter round baking dish. Heat the oil. You cook 2 leeks, very thinly sliced. Remember the trick with leeks, you must give them a really good wash. There's always that little bit of sand or soil in the base of it. Give it a good wash. And cook those for about 5 minutes, 2 good leeks. Transfer the leeks to a bowl. Now cook the peas. They're using about 100 grams of fresh shell peas, or use frozen. Frozen baby peas are fantastic. Cook those for about 2 minutes. Add your spinach leaves, about 500 grams. And then you combine 300 grams of marinated feta. Just to digress there with feta, what I usually do is just buy the feta. Then I put it in a jar with some rosemary, some lemon slices, some lemon juice, and some olive oil, and it's beautiful. So even if you've got something simple like that, you can just marinate with a little bit of fresh herbs and olive oil. So 300 grams of feta, 150 grams of halloumi grated, and the half a cup of parmesan. And you're going to mix it all together and beat the eggs and 3/4 of that cheese together. So you've got the 3/4 of a cheese in a bowl together. You've got 6 eggs. You give them a good beat. And then you're starting to mix all this together. Beat the eggs, 3/4 a cup of the cheese, season, add the cooked veggies. Now you need about a half a cup of freshly packed mint leaves. Just chop them up. And breadcrumbs, about 40 grams of dry breadcrumbs. That's just going to hold it together. And you bake in the oven for about 45 minutes. Now, it looks absolutely beautiful. When it's baked, you just turn it out onto a wire rack, serve it at room temperature, or, I don't think I'd put it in the fridge. I think it'd be beautiful. But it would just transfer so nicely, and it looks absolutely delicious. So I will be putting that recipe up on the website. I thought it looks great. If you don't have peas, you can use broad beans, and you could do the fresh peas, but it just is something that really looked great. And I would have that if it was on Mother's Day with some salad and maybe a fantastic garlic bread or loaf of focaccia or some sourdough. And then a really nice dessert. Now, picnics can be really, really good. I know a lot of the beaches and places around have got some barbecues. But even if you wanted to serve that with some barbecue, it would be so nice as like the accompaniment. Rather than having the big salads, you could have that lovely piece of frittata with any type of barbecue, even with fish, that would sit so nicely. And with all those combinations of the veggies and goodies in there, you really feel like you're achieving a good balance of your daily veggies. And what I'm going to share in the next session is some really nice desserts that you can cook for Mother's Day. We are special, you know, we do need that attention. So special cooking on that day, special enjoying of food together. It's one of my pleasures, so I'm sure for all of you out there who are listening who enjoy food, it would be yours too. So when we come back, we're going to share a beautiful tart, some lovely baked apples, and the particular recipe I've got here is for an apricot and almond crumble. Of course, we don't have apricots, but we do have beautiful pears at the moment. We do have some fantastic berries around this region. You can use all different combinations. You can use apple if you want. But I thought something a little bit different, seeing we're sharing the baked apples. So I'll be back shortly and we'll be sharing those. And of course, today we're talking comfort food and Mother's Day. And you're listening to 101.5. Welcome back to Community Kitchen. Comfort food and Mother's Day. It's all about enjoying those lovely flavours. Now, I saw this fantastic tart and it resonated with me because I have these fantastic tart pans that are just thin and long rectangular, and they're so good to make a quiche or a tart or something like that. They just look so good. So this particular one is using a block of short crust pastry. You can make your own, but you roll the pastry out and you actually flute it into the pan, prick the base and refrigerate for about 30 minutes, preheat the oven to about 190 and line the pastry with some baking paper, fill with your weights, or what you can do is just put the paper in there, a bit of rice. If you don't have that, do mum's old trick where she put it in the oven and take it out and just press it down. And I know a lot of people now have got those really good little wooden pastry wedges or little shapers. You can press it down with that. But you want to fill that and bake it in the oven for about 10 minutes. Pre-cook that, otherwise it's all stodgy when the pie's cooked. Remove and return for about 5 minutes and just until it's a little dry. But you don't want it too brown. It's just starting to get some colour. Remove it from the oven. Let it cool and then spread it with some raspberry jam, about 5 tablespoons, raspberry, strawberry, whichever you have. And set aside. And then what you're going to do is cream some butter, about 100 grams of butter, unsalted, caster sugar, pardon me, 100 grams. And then you're going to beat those together until pale, then beat in one egg and about 60 grams of almond meal, what they call a frangipani, like a frangipani, and about a tablespoon of self-raising flour just to give that lift. And spread that filling over the jam and arrange the fruit. Now, what they've suggested in this particular recipe is 100 grams of raspberries and 100 grams of blueberries. Looks beautiful, but any berries would do. And then you just spread that out and bake it in the oven for about 20 minutes until golden, and dust with icing sugar and serve with cream. And it looks absolutely delicious, and I will be sharing that. Another recipe was the baked apples, which I loved as a child. And I went to market when I was away, and there was a market up at Kiwana, and they had really lovely produce. And I was talking to this woman who bought some beautiful pears and apples in from Stanthorpe. And she always cooks with a red apple, because we always had, you know, green apples. And I guess it was just the way it was. We had red apples for school and we had green for cooking. But she went through and gave me this lovely taste test of all these fantastic apples. And the red apples, she said, always have a really nice tart. So just remember that if you're doing baked apples, you can always go to that particular apple. I find what I do is I like to cook mine in a dish together, or you can make them individual in a muffin tin, and you can fill them. Like what I normally find is I core them and I put some brown sugar, some butter, some pecans, maybe chopped up dates or something like that in there, and just fill that thing right to the top. And if you're cooking it in a dish, make sure you might just cut the base of the apple so it sits flat, and then you are going to just cook that in the oven. I usually pour a little bit of water on there, but you'll find that if you put them in the muffin tin, they work so nicely and they are really delicious, because they actually start to fall apart a little bit, get a little bit steamy and delicious. And I think they're a really nice, nice dessert. And I will put that recipe up for it. And with the crumble, similar type of thing. You're just going to be using your whatever fruit, arrange them in a shallow glass or enamel baking dish, sprinkle with your sugar, and then you are going to make a crumble. Now, I like Jamie Oliver uses self-raising flour, and so do I, because I like the self-raising flour to puff up and then come down with the crumble. But you can use plain flour, some almond meal and unsalted butter, and you rub that together so it's like a really crumble, and put that over the top, and then you can put your almonds on top of it. I personally find that by putting the self-raising flour, and I'm generous, I put sugar in my crumble topping. Sometimes I put rolled oats, sometimes I put chopped up nuts, depending on how I'm feeling or what I've got in the cupboard. Because when that crumble sets, cooks and rises and comes down, it's like a really great sort of granola taste, and it is really delicious. But they're just a couple of nice fruit warmers. They take about 30 minutes, a nice crumble, and they're absolutely scrumptious. So today, of course, we've concentrated on some of those nice, simple tastes, but great flavours. The pea and ham soup, where you're going to be using that for two meals, the pea and ham, and then you've got cold meat because you've cooked that extra hock. The leek and potato soup, which you can take that into a chicken and leek pie. And the chowder soup, which you can take into a mornay, and even adding a few little bits of pieces, even if you put some tinned salmon or tuna or something with that. The pea and mint frittata for Mother's Day with a cos and garlic salad. With a beautiful berry tart or a baked apple or an apple and almond crumble or a pear and almond or berries and almond. Absolutely delicious. So enjoy your cooking. Spoil your mum next Sunday. and I'll be with you next week. And thanks for joining me on Community Kitchen on 101.5.